Welcome to Go Home Heat, a pro wrestling podcast. I am here by myself. My good friend Jared has got a busy weekend. We were able to do a little bit of a celebration last night for him on a weekend, birthday weekend for him, but he is not able to record, so I'm going to try to mow through and give you updates on what happened in Impact, AEW, and this week I will talk a little bit of YouTube and hopefully wrestling you can get on your local stations. I will try to make this as entertaining as possible. Impact Wrestling begins with Moose versus Willie Mack in a hoss match. Moose winds up winning a hotly contested thing here. We wind up with Moose finishing up with a callback to the pay-per-view in which he continually hammers Moose in the head temple until the referee has to get in and stop it. I thought this was just the brutality of Moose in the direction he's going after his feud with EC3. And Willie Mack is one of the more over faces in the company, and we are probably going towards a Rich Swann Moose thing eventually, which gives you the uber talented lightweight, although your total Impact champion, versus the uber athletic and huge Moose. This is going to be great. This is the best thing they can give us at some point. Now we have a Treehouse Greatest Hits thing. We have the Rascals leaving the company, and this is it's cute stuff. The Rascals have been a huge part of Impact Wrestling. The fact that they're leaving is worrisome to me. It seems like AEW has a lot of teams that do what they do. If they show up on WWE, unless they go to NXT, I just don't know where it works or how it works. Although WWE does have a cruiserweight style division, they have a good champion in that division. They can showcase these guys on 205. Maybe they're doing this in order to get a little bit of that fan base to watch a 205 Live type show. I just hope they invest in these guys because they're very, very talented. All right. Detective Dreamer is looking for to find out who's the guy who did this dirty deed in shooting Johnny Bravo, who's on life support, by the way. And turns out Johnny Swinger just happens to have the murder weapon in his fanny pack, which, if you're going to shoot somebody, I'm thinking Johnny's innocent, because why else would he walk around with the... In the wrestling world, if you're walking around with the murder weapon in your fanny pack, you probably are innocent. It doesn't make sense that you would do that. Okay, Suicide versus Geo, an up-and-coming young wrestler. This match is going to... I'm not going to lie to you guys. This whole thing was to set up Joe Doering from All Japan Pro Wrestling to come over and smoke these two dudes with EY and beat them down and set the company on notice as to what is about to happen to these people. Everybody in the company needs to be on notice. Deanna Purrazzo, two-time women's champion, is out with Kimberly, and they are letting people know that it's time to move on from Sue Young, the evil one, until, of course, writing appears and her time has come and the red light comes out and they got problems on their hands because Sue Young is not done with them, even if they are done with Sue Young. Rhino tells Heath to make his doctor's appointment to get his leg checked out, and then Rhino rolls up on EY and Doering and says, hey, this isn't going to happen here. I saw what y'all did out there. That's not how we roll here. To which EY and Doering beat him down. Then they go after Heath, close the door on Heath with them in it, and put the pummeling on him, we can assume. Brian Myers versus Crazy Steve. Myers winds up going over with a clothesline, but I think my focus here is that I want to see Crazy Steve wrestle as much as possible. For a legally blind person, he is incredibly good at wrestling. He is interesting. He stays in character, and he amazes me as an older wrestler, but just really crazy what he's able to do for me. All right, Alicia versus Tennille Dashwood is introduced by Caleb in a glowing intro. he is wrestling with Alicia Edwards, and Havoc and Nevaeh are challenging them in a tournament match. Quick story for the show, for this particular match, is Alicia Edwards fights from down under. Tennille prefers selfies to actual wrestling, and Havoc and Nevaeh are a buzzsaw of a tandem. They put her away quickly and easily. Jordani Grace has a tag team turning partner who is retiring but has agreed to have one more little run with her. Who it will be, we do not know. And we are interested because Jordani Grace is awesome. And we need her to have a good partner in this thing and make a run in this tournament to make it more enjoyable. Hernandez and Falaba. Supermex goes over. That's about enough you need to know there. Rohit Raju bragging about how great he is to Scott D'Amore. Scott D'Amore says he misses the Austin Aries days, which, if you understand how much they hated each other, and that is hilarious. TJP comes up, and D'Amore said, this is funny because D'Amore is trying to subtly, not so subtly, because nothing's subtle in wrestling, subtly like a sledgehammer, explain to TJP that no one who's called TJP can wrestle for the title because he lost the stip against Rohit Raju. Therefore, TJP will need to come up, he doesn't say this, but will need to come up with some other personality in order to wrestle. He will need to be the mask man of something or some way to get into this. And that is going to be fun because that's what we do here at Impact. We have fun. D'Amore's with the Good Brothers, and Ethan Page comes rolling up on him, and he needs a title shot. The Good Brothers have a phenomenal wrestler Page must beat to win. Phenomenal would be an AJ They bring up AJ Styles on this show every show. They want him to come to them, not necessarily Impact, but the Good Brothers want him to come to them. That off air, when they do interviews, they will say to people, AJ needs to realize you can make money outside of that company over there. And it is hilarious how they manage to bring him up every single episode. It's awesome. Okay, and so another interesting thing is reportedly Ethan Page is his contract is coming up as well, and he has not yet re-signed. He has worked very hard to give what was once a somewhat, pudgy's the wrong term, but not like he looks now, frame, a more in-shape physical look. It works for him. And I hope it's not so he can leave, because I think this company, he does really well here. But I get it if he wants to go try something else. Good for him, right? Okay, now the Rascals have their last match on Impact at the end of this episode. And like I said, they are fantastic. And we have a rare face versus face, although Impact is willing to do this more than most companies. Dez and Wentz, two members of the Rascals, versus Trey and the champion, Rich Swann, is his tag team partner. And we get what is a great, great athletic match. Swann, of course, winds up going over with his team, with his partner, and then they all hug, and we get this really cool moment where the guys are practically crying, and it seems genuine, and it seems like the kind of thing that Impact is really good at, which is saying goodbye to talent in a professional manner, because they realize that there's kind of only so many slices of bread in a loaf, and sometimes you got to go get more money than they have, and so they have to be willing to allow people to utilize their stage as a platform to go to bigger stages. And it's neat the way they do it, and of course it finishes the way these things have to finish and should finish in pro wrestling, because after which all of this funness and niceness and kindness, they walk backstage, and we get Sami Callihan going full Sting on them with a baseball bat, and then the crazed Ken Shamrock beats Swann into submission as he's laying there, and we cut to the end. And that's exactly how you do it. The fact is, in pro wrestling, you do not leave standing up. It is your job to put over the company you're leaving, because they've given you a platform to go do something else, or they've allowed you the platform to retire on your own terms, hopefully. So this was perfect. I love Impact. You guys know that if you listen to the show. I wish the Rascals the best. I hope Ethan Page can manage to stay. As a general rule, I just find that Impact is so good at telling these hokey stories and keeping me laughing and relaxed when I watch pro wrestling, which is not something every pro wrestling company is able to do. All right. Ray's going to come in here in a second here. The Go Home Heat Kid is going to help me out. And I want to tell you a couple of things. One, quick commercial for a company that we have partnered up with. We are now being featured on their SoundCloud app, their SoundCloud station. It's called All Everything Entertainment. I am also writing a few articles for them about basketball currently and maybe other stuff to come. I have found this company to be very neat. They do, like it says, the title's simple, All Everything Entertainment. They cover sports, they cover wrestling, and they cover music, they cover movies, TV shows, any type of pop culture stuff, and it is really cool. And I think that once we expanded out of wrestling, we at Go Home Heat felt like, you know, once Ray decided we needed to do a music podcast, and then Lit Nick decided, hey, we should probably be talking movies. This was a natural evolution I did not realize was out there. So if you get the chance to go to their sound, go to alleverythingentertainment.com, check them out, read their articles. They'll tell you fantasy football updates. We had some fine basketball writing. They did a few podcasts on basketball. They're going to have Tyson Kidd is going to be on their All Everything Entertainment Network Wednesday night, I believe. And as you know, he's a trainer in WWE. He was featured on the Lana special. He trains Lana once a week. His wife is one of the great in-ring performers of all time, Natalia Neidhart, which is, of course, Tyson Kidd's wife. Just really cool that they're going to be able to get him on and talk to him. And we appreciate them letting us in on some of this. Also, they do Manscaped, which is their first sponsor, which I guess would make them our first sponsor too. I will get you guys a discount code soon if you would like to utilize some manscaping in your life, which I think you all do need as you grow older. These things happen to you and you develop hair in places that, let's talk about pro wrestling. All right, Ring of Honor. I watched it a little bit this week, and last week we actually, Jared and Ray and I sat and watched the Pure Championship Tournament. It was fantastic. I recommend you going to find those matches on YouTube in places. And also, MLW started their new season. And anytime Jacob Fatu, formerly known as the Samoan Werewolf, now known as the Samoan Smashing Machine, I prefer Werewolf. Ray, you prefer Werewolf?
Oh, by the way, I've entered the premises now.
Yes, Ray is here. You prefer Samoan Werewolf to Smash Machine.
Even if it's only because Samoan Smashing Machine sucks.
Ouch. I understand.
It's too wordy.
But anytime that dude is on your television set, watch him. He's a fantastically strong, agile, nearly 300-pound man. And he's their champion at MLW. Now on to the focus of the U.S. Wrestling Week. Wrestling. AEW Dynamite. We have the Young Bucks versus Top Flight. Top Flight would be a up-and-coming group that kind of challenged the Young Bucks online and or out in the social media world. Darius Martin and Duarte Martin. It winds up being a good little match. The Bucks allowed these guys to hang around and showcase what they're capable of, which was a good thing because they're very good young wrestlers. And then we get what I'm hoping is a program, because Jack Evans and Angelico Hybrid Theory.
No,
Hybrid 2. Attack the two young Top Flight baby faces. And this is great because it feels like we're about to get a Young Bucks. I just want Jack Evans and Angelico to be in anything that matters, right? They're too talented to not be.
It's weird because they haven't been on television for so long.
Right.
And I don't think that has nothing to do with COVID.
Right. They've been on Dark, but not TV. But this is great. Let's get them involved in a program and let's showcase the fact that they have two of your finer in-ring performers. And I cannot wait.
Absolutely.
I can't wait. Okay, so then we wind up next with a Mox promo where he reveals that Renee is pregnant. He also gets very specific about the fact that about his relationship with his father, and when he stepped out of line, his father would put him back in line, and then one day he said his dad bailed him out of jail or something. And the whole point of this was his dad told him, "It's okay, son. Those are bad people, and our job is to put bad people in their place. We're good people." And John is out there fighting the good fight. He's so good at promos. He talks about here how he's going to tear into Kenny. And I'm so excited because we got a contract signing coming up soon and later in the episode. And I'm excited for John Moxley to be, you know, Renee's pregnant. Good for him. We're getting such good news out there with the folks. Now, Orange Cassidy versus Kip Sabin. This was good. I didn't love it. It was okay. Miro was on commentary. They all put over JR on commentary anyway. But Miro's a clever guy. This was all fine. I did like the fact that we finally got to see Kip Sabin wrestle, which was good. Orange Cassidy winds up getting him into some form of something called a mouse trap pinning predicament, which was cool. Orange has an array of odd roll-ups, which is kind of a neat in-character thing for him, you think?
Yeah.
All right. Contract signing, supposedly, Kenny Omega comes out with the fanfare of the women with brooms dancing and the Omega Man. They announce his impact on the world of pro wrestling and his something or another from North Carolina. Anyway, he's out there, and then we cut backstage. Moxley has been beaten up. I was incredibly disappointed, probably because I was just looking forward to hearing Moxley talk again. Kenny says, you know, you can't avoid me forever.
It was, for my personal taste, it was might have been a bit cliche.
Underwhelming.
Well, and just done so many times, you know? It's a backstage fight. He was beat up backstage.
Now, the kicker is, you know how we saved this?
How?
Was it Kenta? Because if it was Kenta from New Japan who beat up Moxley to set up their fight for the title over there, then that means a lot of things because it saves everything. Because one, that means there's an AEW New Japan partnership, which is awesome. And two, we get Kenta and Mox maybe on two different continents. Awesome. Right? Let's get fired up about that. That's how you say that. Okay.
Right.
Inner Circle does Vegas next. The Hangover style. This was strange.
These segments, they're some jokes hit more than others.
Right, and there were a lot of jokes here. I think the main takeaways here were that Sammy Guevara got married 3 times.
That joke didn't hit.
They wrote on MJF's face a lot.
That joke was all right.
Hornswoggle was in a diaper.
That joke was weird.
Santana was feeding chickens in the hotel room, which tells me they couldn't afford the lion or Mike Tyson from The Hangover. I don't know which one's more expensive.
They gotten Mike Tyson before.
And Ortiz was working out furiously, looking like he has not been to bed at all in a t-shirt that says bride on it, a white tank top t-shirt that says bride. That was a lot to take in. Now, let's get something to what we liked. The Blade versus Pac. And Pac is back. And he winds up winning with a shooting star press into a brutalizer for the pin. This was very good. This was
a very solid match.
Absolutely. Now, you like the other finish?
What other finish?
The arrow.
The black arrow. It is. It kind of
better than the one Pac used here.
I'm kind of thinking that, and yeah, I know it was started out as a joke originally, but it might have been because you know how AJ Styles stopped doing the Spinal Tap.
You've told me before. Because, tell the world.
Because basically he stopped because he forgot how to do it.
Right. One of the great off the top rope finishes of all time.
So many just spins to it.
Yeah.
Just kind of forget. And that could easily happen with the black arrow.
Right. So he winds up with a shooting star press. Now, the one thing, too, that I found interesting was if you look at the positioning.
He's on his back. A face.
The blade was face down. So when he hits the shooting star press, he's already in position for the smooth transition into the brutalizer, which is perfect.
Yeah.
It really works well in the way the aesthetic of him floating backwards into the landing on the guy into the. It's perfectly done. Perfectly done.
I'm happy to see Pac back.
AEW has a new commercial that they ran where they take some shots at WWE without saying WWE, which is kind of their bag. I liked the commercial. I get it. And they have taken this. While the WWE takes the tongue-in-cheek, we're not really fighting them way of looking at it. AEW absolutely does the we're fighting the giant. And I don't necessarily like it in every promo, but a commercial where you explain the difference, like in the fact that I'm fighting the monolith and that, you know, we're a one-year-old company, and nobody said we could do this, yet here we are, a wrestling company by wrestlers, is perfect for what they want, the demo they're trying to reach, the fan they want to bring back to the fold. I really think they did a good job on this. Okay.
Yes.
Serena Deeb versus Thunder Rosa in what was a very good women's championship match.
I felt like it could have been a bit better, but that is only because of the thing with Britt Baker that happened in the middle of the match.
Oddly enough, Britt Baker did. Reba distracted, and then Britt hit a DDT on Thunder Rosa, and that did not have anything to do with the finish, which was strange. Because you would have thought that the interference would have had to do with the finish, but of course they wind up having a second half of the match where Rosa loses. And then she winds up getting heat with Britt and Reba after the match. It was match of the night, and it was like you said. I felt like
this was going to be the best women's match AEW have had. Now, don't get me wrong. If I look back, there might be something better. I don't necessarily know, but that. The fact that the Britt Baker thing was in the middle of the match and didn't lead to the finish at all kind of left me dazed.
They just threw it out there for no reason.
Kind of left me dazed and confused.
I totally get it.
It's almost like it.
I would have preferred, and here's what I think too. Like, this was the best match they could have, but not the best match that company can have, but not the best match these two people can have. They're the best two wrestlers in the company is what I'm trying to say. And all they had to do for this to be the best match that the company's ever had for women wrestling is to save the Reba Britt thing to after the match.
Or at the finish.
Right.
Like, and
I would have preferred it to be after the match.
I would have preferred it to be after the match.
Let us have a clean finish and move on. But yeah, I get it.
It would have been better if it were at the finish, and it made sense.
As much as I've killed Britt Baker over...
And this has nothing to do with Britt.
The years, or over the year singular.
Year.
I'm excited. I think Britt has looked good lately in the ring, and I'm excited about a program with her and Thunder Rosa. I'd like to see Rosa as much as possible.
Yeah.
And I think that if anybody can take Britt to that next level, going into a feud here with Rosa, and then maybe later Deeb, could actually do that in the next 6 months for her. And I think we would be off and running right here. So I don't mind the direction all this is going in.
No.
I personally would have just done it a little different.
Yeah, the way we got there is kind of rubbing me the wrong way.
Potato, potato. Right. Brian Cage and Ricky Starks versus Cody Rhodes and Darby Allin. Cage gets the Michinoku Driver over Allin for the win. This was a very good match. It was fairly clean for one of these four people things. I forgot about something, so I'll get to it later. I apologize. Now, after it's over, I like the Cage got the win over Allin because that means we get the Cage-Allin program and also maybe some friction in the group. But before we get friction in the FTW faction, Team Taz, we get a Will Hobbs joining of Team Taz. What do we think about that? Will comes out and lets everybody know he's now on the heel team when we thought he had been protecting the baby faces the whole time.
I think it was okay. My main problem with it is I barely know this Will Hobbs guy's character.
Right.
At all.
Right.
He doesn't really have an established character. So just turning him heel, it's kind of like... Yeah. Why are you supposed to trust him in the first place?
Right. He's been limited. He's been limited on the Dynamite show. Now he has been on Dark, but
yeah,
we kind of were supposedly told that we didn't have to watch Dark in order to get everything that's going on. And that's, here's where, you know what I would have done if I was going to book this. And again, I'm nitpicking, but if I was going to book this, Will Hobbs would have been a tag team partner, not Kobe.
Yeah.
Cody. Cause he was the guy that kind of came to the rescue multiple times. Then you can tell the story of Hobbs, you're telling the story of what it would be like if Hobbs was an ally to Darby. Darby doesn't have friends anyway in the company. That would have been neat. Then you have Hobbs go heel.
Yeah.
At the end of the match, and that turns everybody inside out, right? Because you quickly get a, here's what this could be, here's why this could matter. If Darby had an ally, as small as he is, to have somebody that's watching his back when he's always been the lone wolf, that makes it interesting, right? Okay, now let's get to a little piece of business that I thought was strange. Earlier in the evening, we had a backstage segment where Shaq's friend...
you forget her name.
Jade Cargill has jumped Brandi Rhodes backstage. Like I said, this was a little earlier tonight. And they, Vicky Guerrero and Nyla Rose are fighting off the officials who are trying to separate them. Jade winds up, it looks like, breaking Brandy's arm with a chair. And then Big Swole comes in to save the day. And they are nose to nose. And Jade backs away with Vicky, and they go their separate ways. What do you think I had a problem with?
Well, I know because you talked to me. But
okay, here's what I had a problem with, guys. And if Big Swole runs to save her friend who has just had her friend's arm broken, and these people fight for a living, and two people are standing nose to nose with very little air and a ton of opportunity between them, and we don't get punches thrown, how am I supposed to think that Big Swole cares one bit about Brandi Rhodes?
Speaking of caring one bit about Brandi Rhodes, one of my problems was, out of everything...
The invisible plexiglass was between them. Go ahead.
Speaking of caring about Brandi Rhodes, I did not like this segment very much, but that's only because, like, it's crazy how no one stood in before she got her arm broken.
Well, we don't know if anybody was there.
How
they
could
should have been within earshot not, since they came running up
how,
fairly
how
quickly.
How could you
right?
not hear Brandi getting
beaten to the point they can grab a chair and put it over her arm? While referees are trying to stand there, and Vicky and Nyla
senseless.
Yelling, "Stand back!" Right,
and Vicky
right.
Guerrero. Shrieking.
How long is that hallway?
Yeah, right. I wonder what's happening over there.
But it wasn't entertaining. Like you said last week, AEW's never boring.
No.
They constantly, like the Vegas thing, they threw things at the wall, some of it hit, some of it didn't. They with Brandy, they threw things, some of it hit, some of it didn't. With Britt, some of it hit, some of it didn't. A lot of the show hit this week.
Yes.
A lot of the show hits every week.
Of course.
We had a good time. We missed New Japan Jared. We'll see you next week with New Japan Jared, and things will be back to normal-ish for our Thanksgiving episodes. For my man Ray, the Go Home Eat Kid, this has been a Go Home Heat production, copyright 2020. Go home.